Hello, my name's Jerry Wellington. I'm a professor in the School of Education at the University of Sheffield. I'll be talking to Sarah this morning about writing and publishing. So first of all, Sarah, could you just introduce yourself, tell us who you are, where you did first degree, etc.?
My name's Sarah. I work in the English department at Sheffield University as a postdoctoral research assistant. I did my first degree at Sheffield in English literature, and then I did a master's at Nottingham, and I came back to Sheffield to do my PhD. I've been working as an early career researcher for the past year.
Yeah. When did you finish your PhD?
It was in June last year. June 2010.
Right. Okay. So just under a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Right. I'll ask you about writing, first of all, and a very general sort of feely question. What are your feelings about writing in terms of positive and negative feelings? How do you feel about writing itself?
Well, I love writing when I feel like it's going well. But when I don't feel like it's going well, I find it incredibly painful and difficult.
Right. And what do you do when it's going badly? Do you go and walk the dog, or do you go and run a half marathon or something?
The way I write, I have to have large blocks of time set aside, and I have to just sit there and keep doing, and I have to keep working through things until I feel like it's going okay again.
So you make yourself stay there?
Yeah, I do, with snacks and things and, you know, Facebook breaks and stuff. But
okay,
yeah.
So you eat a lot at the same time?
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah.
What do you think the main obstacles are to writing, then? What stops you?
Well, I think in my experience of working after my PhD, the main thing that I found really difficult is finding the time to write.
Right.
Because I do need to feel like I've got uninterrupted periods that I can just sit, and literally I don't wash. I just sort of sit in front of my computer and stay there all day.
Okay, so you would look for a block of time as long as a day, would you, for writing?
That's how I'm working at the moment. For example, we just had the Easter bank holiday weekend, and that was great because everyone at university was off. There was no emails coming in, no teaching, nothing to do. My partner was away, and I just sat in my house and wrote a paper over the bank holiday weekend.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And your distractions are things like emails and Facebook, the usual.
Yeah, well, basically anything, any short, achievable task is a distraction for me, because I'd rather do that than have to sit and try and write, especially if it's not going well.
Right. So you're good on displacement activities.
Definitely.
On the other hand, you do enjoy writing.
But I do, yeah.
What do you get from it? Why do you enjoy writing?
I think I enjoy seeing my ideas come out and be written down. Because I think one of the hardest things for me with writing, and why I find it so painful, is because in my head the ideas are all around everywhere, and you've kind of, to write them down, you've got to force them into a linear sort of structure. Mm-hmm. That's the painful bit. But when you've actually done it, I think it's really great. And sometimes, you know, by writing your ideas down, you actually have more ideas as well.
Yeah.
You can see them in a different way.
So you're saying you don't know what you're going to write until you've seen what you've said, if that makes sense?
I'm a drafter. That's the way I write. So I have an idea of what it is I want to do, and I have an idea of which point, you know, the points I think I've got to get to in order to achieve what I'm trying to write. And then I sit down and try and write to get there. And then I'll redraft, like, at least 20 times, probably, each paragraph.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you do your redrafting as you go along, or do you leave it for a day or two to go cold and come back to it?
I do it as I go. Mm-hmm. Whenever I sort of hit an obstacle, I think this isn't working, I don't know where to go next, I'll go back and redraft, you know, the section I'm working on. But then I also, I have to leave it a couple of days as well. I think it's good to let it lie.
Let it
then come back to it.
Yeah. I've heard the expression, let it ferment, but I think ferment's probably the wrong word. Are you a planner or a pre-planner, or are you a very structured writer?
No. I'm kind of jealous of people who can just sit down and then whatever sentence comes out is the sentence that's right, and they deliberate over each word. I'm not like that at all. It just pours out, and then I like to have it all out on the page and then mess with it.
I see. So you structure afterwards as opposed to having a set structure and then fitting things into that structure. Okay.
Well, I have an idea of where I want to go,
but
it's not a set structure at all. I can change it if I don't think it's working.
Excellent. I want to talk about people who may have helped you in your writing, and looking back to your first degree, PhD, etc. Can you identify anybody that's helped you in your writing?
Well, it's my PhD supervisor has been the the biggest source of sort of support and help with my writing. She's proofread, like, she proofread my entire thesis, and she's proofread my first article.
Did she?
Yeah.
But as well as proofreading, what sort of feedback did she give you that was useful to you as a writer?
I think that it was helpful to see, you know, when she, when she'd write things like, this needs expansion, you need to justify this point, that sort of thing, trying to help you to make your argument more academically sound. And I think that's something I've really picked, I think it's kind of an intuitive thing, but it's something I've really picked up on her. And I find that when I'm marking students' work, like dissertations and things, I can do that. I can do that for them now and go, this needs expanding. What do you mean, you know?
So you think you're marking has improved as a result of the feedback that you received?
Definitely,
from
your,
from the PhD supervisor.
Yeah. Marking of long work and essays,
Right. What sort of things do you pick people up on the writing then? Punctuation, structure?
Signposting as well.
Signposting?
I think signposting is something that came really late to me, because when I was redrafting my thesis and my first article, I found it really hard, and it gets easier, I think, as you go on, trying to guide people through what you're doing. I think that's something that students find very difficult.
So signposting, you mean giving indications to the reader at the beginning of the chapter or end of the chapter?
I think it means being able to tell someone what you're doing. Because everyone can write stuff, but you need to have a, you need to be thinking about what you're doing in a slightly different way to be able to explain. So this article is about this in a sentence. Yeah. Now I'm going to do this. Now I'm going to do this.
Yeah. I agree. I think signposting, as an external examiner of PhDs, if they're not signposted clearly, it can be a nightmare to wade through. So you've had good feedback as you've gone along. Just tell me about a good day in your writing. I know you've talked about you need a block of, what would you say is a good day? You know, how many words or?
I think you can really punish yourself if you have like word limits and things like that. But I think whenever I'm trying to write something, I'm always thinking about it, even when I'm not actually sitting down to write it. For example, the article I wrote over the bank holiday weekend recently, I've been thinking about that for months, and I've been thinking about what am I going to put in it, how am I going to start it, blah, 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 on the back burner in my mind.
I see.
And a good day, I think, is when you get to sit down and you get to put words in the order that you're thinking in your head and sort of start to get things out. So I don't have word counts or anything like that, but I do have a goal in mind in terms of, like, I want to get this idea articulated by the end of the day.
Right, so you set certain goals. Do you write straight onto the screen, not onto the screen, keyboard and screen, or do you tend to write with a pen and then?
No, I would type. I don't think I could be where I am now if it wasn't for word processors.
Okay.
But I can type faster than I can write, and I can type at the same rate that I think, if you know what I mean.
That does help.
That's
great. So I just want to move on to your position now as an early career researcher and the business of publishing. So in the situation you're in now, you did your PhD a year ago. Let's just talk about motivations. Why should you want to publish? I'm sure you do, but why?
Well, I think just to get your ideas out there in a tangible form, and to make, you know, to make your mark on what you've done. If you spent so long researching something for your PhD, it'd be a shame for it just to sit in a library getting dusty and, you know, only a few people citing it. I think if you start getting published in major journals in your field, it makes such a massive difference to... I find now that I go to conferences and people know who I am already and they've read my work and it's cool.
What's your second name?
Whiteley.
Whiteley, sorry.
Sarah Whiteley.
I didn't ask you at the beginning. So look out for Whiteley on Google. So it's a matter of getting your ideas out there. Now, what about journals and targeting journals? What would your strategy be? You know, you did a PhD a year ago. Have you published in journals from that?
Yeah, I've got two journal articles.
And how did you choose those journals?
Well, I think it's really important to... you've got to aim for journals that you read, really,
that
ideally.
You read.
Yeah. So major journals in my field, for example, are language and literature, and poetics and things like that. That's where I'd want to be getting published.
How would you decide those targets, you know, strategically, which targets you would go for?
You need to be... I mean, a good thing to do is research the journals and find out what it is that they're interested in.
Yeah.
In publishing and find ones that have got a fit for your research, I think. And those ones do. I mean, I know they do because a lot of the influential articles I've read in my research are in those journals.
Well, that's good. What about tactics with journals? Have you ever had anything rejected by a journal?
I've not had anything rejected, but I have had something come back with, like, significant revisions needed.
Okay.
As in, it's not publishable yet, but if you do, like, if you change everything, then...
And how many referees were there for that article?
There was two. It was two peer-reviewed.
Two peer-reviews.
Yeah.
And were they both in agreement, or did they...?
Yeah, they were both in agreement, but it was interesting. They had quite different styles. And one of them was very constructive, very thorough.
Yeah.
And that was great because I could, you know, they were literally like, page such and such, this isn't right, do this.
Yeah.
The other one was a bit less helpful. They were just like, this is not publishable quality. This is wrong with it. That is it. And it was really short and stuff. So
that one was very negative.
Yeah.
So what did you do with those two sets of referees' comments? What did you actually do?
Well, I paid the most attention to the one that had been constructive. But I tried to take on board what the negative person had said, and I imagined if I'd met this person, I don't know who they were, obviously, but if I'd met them and someone had said that to me face to face at a conference or something, how would I have justified what I was doing? And I think as long as I could justify what I was doing in order to address those negative comments, I didn't feel like I had to incorporate the things they said into my article, but...
Yeah. I agree.
It made me more confident,
Yeah, you can't respond to every referee's comment.
No.
And so what was the outcome of that particular one?
Yeah, that's been published.
So it's been published?
Yeah, that's out already, yeah.
So you made the revisions, you've resubmitted, and it's out there in the...
Yeah.
In the big world, or is it print on paper, or is it on the internet, or both?
No, both.
Both, so it's got both media.
Yeah.
Excellent. Anything? Is there anything that stops you from publishing or puts you off publishing?
I find writing for publication really difficult, just because I always have a sense of an addressee in my head. Who am I writing to? And when you're writing, I think, right, I want this, I'm going to sit down and write a journal article. And I think of all of the professors that I know and everyone who I think is amazing in my field, and you're like, all of those people are going to read it. And then I just clam up and I can't write. Like,
so that's a daunting, inhibiting experience.
Definitely.
Thinking of your audience.
So when I start off trying to write for journal articles, I imagine I'm writing it for somebody else, like someone I know.
That's a good idea, I think.
Yeah. And then once you've got stuff down and you can work with it, you can start thinking about other audiences.
About the audience,
I just clam up and get all,
No, I think that's a very important point, that the audience, thinking of who you're writing for constantly can be a real inhibitor.
Yeah.
You're not very experienced, but you've had things published. What advice would you give to somebody maybe who's just finished the PhD about publishing?
Well, this might sound weird, but I think my main piece of advice would be go to conferences. And meet people in your field and get to know the people who are running the journals that you'd want to get published in. You know, they're normally important people who'll go to your conferences. So by being on the conference circuit, you get your name known, and then when you're sending in articles to people, they'll think, oh, I saw her, she was at such and such conference. And I think also take time to find out about how journals work and what it is that the constraints that they're working in, because they don't I don't think that they're expecting people to send in their magnum opus or something.
No.
They need people to send in good stuff for them to publish and them to continue. So it's actually a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah.
And I think if you can find out a bit more about how journals work, it can make you feel more confident about your role in it.
What's the best way of finding out how journals work, apart from going to conferences and talking to people?
Or you should ask your supervisors.
Right.
You should see if there's anyone else in your department who's on panels for journals.
Exactly.
And talk to them about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So use the colleagues and networks that you've got to your best.
Yeah, and to try and demystify the process.
Basically. Demystify, yeah. I think that's very true.
Just people involved in it still.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent, Sarah. Thanks very much. If you had to give, in a nutshell, to the early career researcher, just finished a PhD, a bit of advice, what would you say about writing and publishing?
Well, I think if, like me, they feel quite unconfident about it, I would say, think about all the times that you've read a journal article and just thought, this is rubbish.
Right.
They deserve to get published and you deserve to get published too.
Yeah, so if they can do it, so can you.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks very much. That's terrific. Thank you.
Thanks.